What if your ordinary day at work is actually part of God's extraordinary plan? You're not just one person grinding it out all alone. You're a vital member of the body of Christ, called, gifted, and sent into the public square. In this short devotional, discover how seeing yourself as part of one body with many members can transform how you show up at church, at home, and on the job. Listen in and step into your God-given role with fresh confidence. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. We are in our series, Transformed Living, a Romans 12 Roadmap. And if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment, and place in that Washington Defender app inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us keep us moving forward on our mission, our vision, our goals, what we want to do to impact the public square, which is, in essence, change the heart so that we change the policy, right? Policy is the outflow of the heart. And if we change the heart, the policy changes. All right, so let's dive into our question today. How does viewing your church, your family, and those in Christ in your community as one body with many members change the way you see your role there? So, like a team, we all have different positions we play on the field, but we're one team. So, how do you see your church, your family, your community, those in Christ, as part of one body? How does that change how you view that? So, let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same functions, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So the first thing we learn in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, for just as we have many members. Have you thought about that? There's so many members on the team. And I thought, you know, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it's going to say something similar. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So here we go. We are one body with each other. There's many different parts, just like we have different fingers, we have ears, we have eyes, we have hair, we have our chin, we have a nose, we have eyes. On a team, we have the, you know, we have a football team, we have the quarterback, we have the receivers, we have the, you know, all the different positions. We have the offense, we have the defense teams, defensive team, we have the kick team. So we're all different members, but one body. So as you go into the public square today and you're thinking about the team, you're thinking about the body of Christ, you are part of a bigger picture than just you. Now it says this, for just as we have many members in one body. So it is one body. It is Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we may have eternal life. It's still one body. We don't have separate. It's not my faith, my religion, my Jesus, my Bible, my this. It isn't those things. Now, there should be a element that we own those things as far as we feel responsible to steward them. But there shouldn't be the idea of uniqueness that says, this is my own religion, you know, kind of thing. And we've come up with some kind of wacko beliefs. But let's look at this. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right, so we do have many members, but one body. It's Jesus. As you go into the public square today, think about that. You are part of the bigger picture of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now look at this last part of this verse. So for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. So do you recognize this? We don't all have the same function. Remember, conjunction, junction, what's your function? I don't know if you remember that. When I was a kid, I remember that. But anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And then he says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot would say, but I'm not a hand, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any less a part of the body. So remember, we have hands, feet, elbows, knees, and toes. We have all different things. We have all different functions. Our foot has a different function than our hands, and our hands have a different function than our foot. And you're needed in the body of Christ. You have a different function than other people. Don't judge people based on the function that God's given them. You just be responsible for yourself. That is the hardest thing to learn. People aren't called to be like you, to be conformed to your image. They're called to be used by God in such a way that brings glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we have different functions, each one of us. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. There's many of us globally and around the world. There's one body in Christ. And although we have tons of them, we read that in 1 Corinthians 12:12, we see that there's just one body in Christ. That's that unity that God is calling us to. And yet it says, and individually one of another. So we're individual members, one of another. So we are connected in a unity like never before. Let's go over to John chapter 17 and see what it says there. John chapter 17. John 17. And let's look at verse 20. So we see here, Jesus is speaking. And it says, I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. So he's talking about us in the future, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I don't know if you picked up on that, but the reason for unity is so that people believe that Jesus was sent to this world. You say, how do you know that's true? I'm reading it right here. It's in red ink. Jesus just said it. He says, I'm in the Father and me, we are in them, all this kind of like moshing, you know, together of connectedness, of unity that we have. And he says, so that the world may believe that you, God the Father, sent me, Jesus Christ the Son. So that's the unity. So what do we do with this? Well, when you walk into that office today, you're not alone. You're part of the body of Christ. You have a function. You have a mission. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're called for a purpose to walk in there and to do the things that honor and fit that are pleasing to God. And Christ is in you, and you are in Christ. And you are in the Father, and the Father's in you, and the Spirit of God's in you, and you're in the, you know, and you're in the Holy Spirit. So there's just this intermixing of all that stuff, that connectiveness, that unifying unity that we have in Jesus Christ. Hopefully that brings you confidence today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for great confidence as we walk into the public square today. Help us to recognize that every place we step, you go before us. You surround us, and we thank you for all your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.